Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you want to be. Oh, dare to step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Hello and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, April 20th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We've got a fantastic show for you today. Joining us in a moment for today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Overcoming Financial Stress, will be Kate Phillips, author and founder of Total Wealth Coaching. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners, because I'm so honored that you carved out time in your schedule to join us. I want to encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone line, punch 1 to let me know you have a question or comment. If you're on the web chat, all you have to do is type in your questions or your comments, and then we'll see them and read them. I'll read them on the air to our guest. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so that means anything can happen, lost signals being one of the most common. And if your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything. All the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Are you there, Kate?
I sure am.
Oh, good. I'm glad to know because I lost my web page, but the sound is still there. I'm glad to hear. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I'm Flora Brown, an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I'm also a mom of 4 and grandma of 3. I recently retired after 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels. Yes, I started as a child. The last 20 years I was teaching critical thinking. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to visit my website, www.coloryourlifehappy.com, to learn about my upcoming book, Color Your Life Happy, Uncover the Inner Joy You Deserve. It's full of stories, tips, activities that will all speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and deserve. Now, on the radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I will interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, and all of those things that contribute to lasting happiness. But let's get to the amazing show that we have for you today. Kate is my guest, and before I interview her, I want to tell you, the listeners, a bit more about Kate. Right now, the economy seems to be the headline, the top headline, day after day, and it's mostly bad news. All of us have experienced this. Surveys say that 7 out of 10 Americans currently identify themselves as very financially stressed, with only 1 out of 10 Americans describing themselves as not financially stressed. Kate's going to share the secrets to raising your own level of peace and joy, even as the financial markets are bottoming out. Kate's the author of the book, Overcoming Financial Stress, And as someone who's been self-employed for 14 years and a single mother for 11 years, she's learned a thing or two about overcoming financial stress, right, Kate?
I have. I'm still learning. There's always opportunities to learn more. And, you know, the economy's helping me learn this year.
Oh, yes. The economy has given all of us a good lesson. Kate's book she's written many articles in addition to her book. She has a wonderful website, which she's going to tell you more about. But you can go there and learn about abundance, prosperity, money tips, all at TotalWealthCoaching.com. Kate, I'm intrigued by your success in remaining self-employed for 14 years and being a single mom for 11 years. Neither of those, to me, is a very small feat. So I want to begin by asking you how you got started in a self-employed business. How did you make that decision? I assume you at one time worked for someone, you made the decision to go into your own business. How did you get started?
Yes, I was in the restaurant industry for many years. Initially, as a waitress, it was just simply the result of needing a job, and my husband was a cook, and I got into that, and then ended up putting myself through college waiting tables. It's a fantastic job to have. And I was in and out of college. I was on the 9-year plan, you know.
I know about that plan.
Yeah, to get my degree. So I waited tables for many, many years. And, you know, I would say I became an entrepreneur rather accidentally, Flora, because I don't know that was really a dream of mine. I would say for the first part of my adult life, I wasn't a very ambitious person. To be honest, I used to be rather prejudiced against people who had money. I thought something must be very wrong with these people and, you know, their priorities. I was a religion major, and we were very suspicious of, you know, business majors and people who seemed to pay a lot of attention to money. And I don't think at that time I had really connected that you know, the freedom that money could give you to go do all kinds of good things in the world.
Sure.
And so after I got my degree, I worked in ministry for a couple of years, and then my husband and I had the bad idea. We'd been working in restaurants so long, we had the bad idea to start our own restaurant. So we did. It was sort of this, you know, romantic thing. And it's interesting, once you start a restaurant, you know, all these people come out of the woodwork who say, oh gosh, I've always wanted to start a restaurant
of
too.
Course.
And now I provide a free public service to the world, as I will have a phone conversation or a cup of coffee with anybody who thinks they want to start a restaurant.
An eye-opening conversation, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Try to talk some sense into them. So that's how it all started. It probably took really a couple of years into the restaurant business before I really woke up and started thinking like a business owner. You know, I had thought like an employee for some time, and you've got to make that, you know, when you've got employees and profit and loss sheets, and you're trying to keep something afloat and, you know, write your paychecks and pay your suppliers and all of that, you know, you've got to start thinking like a business owner to survive. But it took me a little while to get there. But once I started thinking like a business owner, I haven't really successfully made the transition back to employee.
Yeah, it's kind of tough once you get used to that, huh? Making your own decision. But today I want to get to financial stress, because I know that's why the listeners have tuned in. Let's start off with the fact that you call yourself a financial healer. What do you mean by that?
Yes, well, I've
financial
struggled.
Healer.
Financial healer. It's kind of an oxymoron, don't you think?
Yeah,
my Twitter handle is Money Healer, and I had somebody message me and say, "How do you heal money?" And I think she was actually sort of joking with me, but. You know, it's something I've come up with because so many of the other terms don't really fit. I guess technically you might say I'm a financial coach. I'm certified as a life coach. Finances and people's relationships with money happens to be my specialty. I'm also a certified trainer, and I use a lot of workshops and group activities as well. But the term financial coach, people sort of think they know what that means because some financial coaches might be financial planners. A lot of financial coaches, they're going to concentrate on money management techniques or debt counseling. Okay. And I do a little bit of that, but really, Flora, as I mentioned, my background's in ministry, and when I first got started in this, I thought, wow, this is a really different direction. This has nothing to do with the ministry work that I've done in the past. And after a couple of years of doing workshops with women around their relationship with money, I had an aha moment where I realized my work had actually come full circle, because in working with people in how they think and feel about money and their relationship with money, I realized it had more to do with forgiveness and with healing than it did with financial education or even money management.
Okay. Now, could I ask, what do you mean by forgiveness? How does forgiveness tie into concept of money?
Great question. As I said, I started doing this work with doing a lot of workshops and group work with women, and I found that the biggest hurdle in their way to financial freedom wasn't a lack of understanding about how money works. A lot of these women were professional women. They understood how credit cards work. They understood how, buying a home worked. They understood basic mathematical concepts. They were not stupid women. But they oftentimes were so stuck in shame and regret around their finances because they hadn't been doing the things that they knew to do. And we tend to behave very emotionally around money. We don't necessarily behave logically around money. And forgiveness plays a huge part. I personally think it's the grand secret to all of life. But it plays in with our money because, if we're mad at ourselves at how we've handled money, if we're mad at our spouse that, because they don't earn more or they spend too much, if we're mad at our stockbroker, because they lost money last year, it's really a difficult position to move forward from, and we've got to come to a place of forgiveness and acceptance, starting first and foremost with ourselves before we can move forward with any sort of power.
It seems to tie in with what you said earlier, that many of us grew up disliking, hating rich people because we felt that somehow or another, especially if you were in a religion that talked about the root of all evil, money is the root of all evil, then it makes it hard to pursue money for yourself if, on the other hand, you think that people who have money are somehow evil, bad people. Somehow or another, you have to reconcile those two things.
Of course, yes. And there's because who wants to become something that they don't respect or something that they don't admire? There's a Hawaiian saying that says, "Bless that which you want." And there is a lot of cynicism, a lot of jealousy, a lot of envy, a lot of judgment that goes on around money and people with money, and what I find is that these things start to melt away as we open up and start to simply get to know people. I'll make people go out and interview a millionaire, and it's amazing. They come back and they're like, "Wow, they were really helpful," or they said I could call them anytime, and we realized that what gets presented in the media is not it's not really the truth, you know. And the media is always out, you know, hunting for some sort of sensational story about somebody who wasted money.
Exactly. Well, you know, this gets us to your book, because I would suspect that your book is very different from the other kinds of financial information we get out there. So what can we expect in your book that's different from the typical?
Yes, I'm working on it. It's actually at the moment an ebook, and it's not quite finished yet, but I'm
no problem.
Very soon it'll be finished. It's called Overcoming Financial Stress. And it is different, because what I find is that most, not all, but most financial writers will really concentrate on the numbers. And granted, the numbers are important. You know, you've got to get around to talking about the numbers and making sure your numbers are in line. But this book, it centers really on one aspect. I mean, I teach way beyond this and coach way beyond this, but I'm really centering in on the topic of financial stress, because so many people are struggling right now. And I approach it from a very holistic point of view.
Okay.
So in other words, I'm not buying into the idea that financial stress is all about the economy and all about our circumstances. Granted, that's a part of it, but how is it that we are responding and reacting to those things, and what can we do to master our internal life? Because stress is, you know, it's primarily a response. It's an emotional state. It doesn't actually have anything to do with your financial state. And one of the things I found that is so interesting to me is that, you know, there are millionaires out there who are, you know, just as much, if not more, financially stressed as people with $500 in the bank.
Exactly.
Because it's so, you know, opposite of their expectation or their experience, and it feels, you know, it feels like death to them to go from maybe being a multimillionaire to a millionaire can be very stressful.
I can imagine.
Not that some of us wouldn't like to trade places.
Have that problem.
Exactly.
But I think you're right that one of the things that occurred to me with all of the negative news is that even people who are not in trouble financially are stressed about it, are scared. And it's amazing that, you know, even though they may not be having, as a matter of fact, I read a story on your website last night about the people who are committing suicide, and one of them you mentioned was a news story where the fellow who killed his family and himself was not losing his home and was doing well financially, but for whatever reason was anticipating that the economy was turning around. Do you remember that story?
Yes. I think he was very much so running out of money. He had been unemployed for some length of time. You know, when you think, gosh, what would drive somebody to, you know, kill themselves and kill
their
family? And he left a suicide note that made it plain that it was really about his financial downturn. And you would think, gosh, you know, were they in need of medical attention and he couldn't afford to give it to them? Were they starving?
Exactly.
Were they getting ready to have to be thrown out on the street? And then the reporters talked to his landlord, and his landlord said they weren't even behind on their rent. So, you know, really a tragic, tragic loss of perspective.
Yes, and perspective is what it's all about. I want to ask you about, I heard that you have a financial stress quick quiz. Where can we find that, and what does it help? How will it help us?
Well, the financial stress quick quiz, it's just a free quiz. It's actually on my blog. My blog is, if you go to thegardenofplenty.com, thegardenofplenty.com, you can also get
that.
You can also get there right from my main page, which is totalwealthcoaching.com, as you said earlier, Flora. But What the quiz assesses is how we're handling the financial stress in our lives. How is it affecting us? And it's just a simple, fun, quick quiz that you can take. And I had a very interesting aha, you know, probably 2 months after I had designed the quiz and I was using it and in business mm-hmm. groups and so forth. I looked at the quiz one day and I realized the quiz doesn't ask anything about how much money is in our bank or how much money
right.
have we lost.
Right.
I realized that
exactly.
it's all about how we're responding to
exactly.
to that stress.
Well, that gets at the whole thing. I think you've already covered this, that the economy is not the primary cause of our financial stress. It's how we handle it, how we react to the news. And I'm wondering, can you tell us some simple things that we could do to help alleviate the financial stress that we've caused ourselves?
Yeah, I will. And I'll say a quick comment about the economy first. The economy
okay.
is very much a catalyst for what is happening. It's not that the economy has nothing to do, because
mm-hmm.
you know, foreclosures are up and employment is up. I mean it's stressful to lose a job. It's incredibly
Certainly.
Stressful to lose a house or have a business fail and maybe have to go into bankruptcy. It's just one of the factors, and I don't think it has to govern our experience. There's a quote one of my mentors, Dr. Sue Mortar, says, you know, we may not be able to control our environment, but we can master our experience. And I
okay.
think that's
I like
really,
that.
Yeah, I know, I love it.
Yeah,
I
like that.
That we may not be able to control our environment, but we can master our
yeah.
experience.
Okay.
So I think that's the challenge that the economy is presenting many of us right now, is how to master our experience. And we're some of us are being given challenges that we may not have had in the past. And ultimately, I think our response has to do with a level of trust that everything
mm-hmm.
is going to be okay. And these are
mm-hmm.
very uncertain times, and the uncertainty can be the uncertainty even in and of itself. Even when uncertainty, you know, you might be uncertain of something wonderful happening, it can be
yes.
it can be
yes.
stressful, because we like to control, you know, what's
yes,
what's
we do.
Going on. So it's a way to anyway, it's an instigator for us to really grow and develop our coping mechanisms, which we, in this country, we haven't had great coping mechanisms for
no.
Financial challenge, because we've had it so good in some ways compared
yes.
to many other
yes.
countries and many other times.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, but you wanted to know some tips
simple
of what we
things.
Can do.
Yeah, that we can do.
To lower our financial stress. Well, the first thing I tell people, and unless you happen to be a news reporter, in which case you might not like this suggestion, but the first thing I tell people is...
I know what you're going to say.
I know you are.
Stop
you too.
To the news.
It's like, unplug from all of the bad news. Yes, there may be some things that you need to be aware of. I mean, if you've got your money in AIG stock, you know, you might want to be aware of what's going on. Maybe not. Well, you might be able to do something before things go from bad to worse.
Yeah, but not from the news. You need to talk to someone. You need to talk to someone at AIG, not on the news.
Yeah. You need to be talking to your stockbroker, your financial
That's
planner
right.
about
That's
that.
Right.
But you know, we're again, this is part of mastering our experience. We're in control of who and what we surround ourselves by, including the airwaves in our own home
exactly.
or in our own car. And why
exactly.
would you want to listen? And what happens when, you know, the banks start crashing and unemployment goes up is people love bad news. And so they'll,
oh, yes.
you know, the I'm sure the news channels are getting more listeners than they have in the past few. Yeah.
More business.
So notice how that is affecting you. and choose something different. You know, you could put in a a Wayne Dyer interview. You could go to Dr.
Yes.
Flora Brown's blog talk
That's
show.
Right.
I actually had somebody email me last night who said she was listening to one of your past shows, and she thought
oh.
you rocked, by the way. She thought you were great.
Oh, thank you. Great. Thank you.
And
yeah.
And, you know, put on some music that you love. Put
yeah.
on, you know, and you don't need to focus in that direction just because everybody else is. Because it
exactly.
does, it makes you feel, it can make you feel, you know, you start buying into this idea that we're powerless and we're victims. And you can just as well go tune into people who are, you know, very proactively handling what's going on. I mean, you and I were on a call this morning with Patrick Snow, and I mean, how do you feel when you get off the phone call with Patrick
oh
Snow,
goodness.
You know?
Oh,
I mean,
charged up.
Yeah, yeah. Best, you know, best-selling
he's
author and coach and speaker. And you know, and he's come through, I know a bit of his personal story. He's come through tremendous challenges, but he always
yeah.
stayed focused. And this
yeah.
is the other thing we've got to do. We've got to stay focused on what we want and not what we're afraid of. We've
exactly.
got to focus on what we want and not what we're afraid of. Another just simple stress management tip is it might sound obvious, but it's really not. When people get stressed, they tend to self-medicate, whether that's with sugar, whether that's with extra caffeine, whether that's with unhealthy food or alcohol or prescription or non-prescription drugs. When people get stressed, they want to self-medicate some way to make themselves feel better, and that's the opposite thing of what we should be doing. This is the time when, you know, don't drop your yoga class, don't drop your exercise program. You know, we need to be getting
right,
out
right.
for walks, getting out in the sunshine, eating well, and giving our bodies the extra support that it needs when we may be, you know, going through some challenges, maybe having to work a little extra or, you know, handle some situations that are difficult. We've got to be giving our bodies the support that it needs. And
you know why I'm laughing?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. You know why I'm laughing? This morning when I announced on Patrick's call that what your topic was,
mm-hmm.
overcoming financial stress, did you hear someone on the call say alcohol?
Oh, yes.
Someone said alcohol. I just ignored that and went on. But when you said avoid self-medicating, I thought, okay, that's somebody that has the wrong technique.
Well, I think it could have just been a joke, too, judging by
joke.
Who's on
but
the line.
But there are a lot of people
line.
Who believe that. There are a lot of people who believe that. That's why what
yeah,
you're saying is
yeah.
so
you know, although ironically, you know, it's not necessarily cheap to drink, so you know,
no, it isn't.
It's only going to make matters worse. And in terms of people's finances, the number one thing really is to not put your head in a hole, even though you may want to shield your head from the airwaves and the media. Yeah, you don't want to put your head in the hole. You don't want to be an ostrich. You've got to. You know, if you need to cut back on what you're spending, then make a plan to do that. If you need to make more money, you know, just be focused, again, on what you want, on the proactive strategies, whether that's, you know, picking up some work on the side or starting a business or writing a book. There's all sorts of ways that people can add an extra income stream to their lives. There's all sorts of ways that people can save money. There's never been a better time than now to negotiate debt, whether it's credit card debt or whether it's mortgage
That's right.
debt, but you can't
That's
wait
right.
until it's too late.
Nope. Well, you know, one of the things that you're saying is very important, and that is not putting your head in in a hole, because when you do, then you can't think of the solutions that are out there, like the thing you mentioned about getting an extra job, bringing in extra income. If you have your head so buried and you're so caught up in the doom and gloom, you can't even think of these great solutions that would help
you. You can think. A former client of mine who went through my class for women, she had a great term that we just loved. We coined it from her. She called it horribilizing.
Oh, okay.
Horribilizing is a verb. In other words, you know, you start thinking about, you know, what if this happens? What if that happens? Well, if this happens, then I'll lose my job. And if that happens, then I'll lose my home. And if that happens, then I'll lose my boyfriend. And pretty soon I'll be, you know, and you certainly can't think of anything proactive from that place.
you're just going to create
more and more stress in your life.
Yeah, and your heartbeat will actually speed up. I mean, you can actually create physical things in your body when you keep doing that horribleizing, as you called it, which kind of gets me to this whole thing of happiness, which is the idea of the show. Is it possible to be financially stressed and happy at the same time?
Well, let me ask you something, Flora. Have you ever known of or heard of somebody who had a terminal disease? Maybe they were dying of cancer, something like that. And they found a profound sense of peace and joy in the middle of that.
Yes. Yes, I have.
Yes. Yes, I was matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was rewatching. A lot of people may be aware. Boy, I can't remember the professor's name right now, but he did something called The Last Lecture. He was a professor.
Oh, yes. I know who you're talking about. I'll think of it. Posh. It starts with a P.
He was Posh, or something like that. Yeah, he was dying of pancreatic cancer.
Pancreatic cancer, right.
Yeah, and he... you know, he just was so full, as many people do. They really discover the best of themselves in those times. And so I think we've got to sort of pull apart this term that, you know, and I use it too, financial stress. Everybody knows what financial stress means, but we don't really understand what it means. We've got to pull apart the financial circumstances from what we assume is the only logical reaction to them. And just like somebody who may be undergoing a severe health struggle, we've got to realize that, you know, what is what is. Maybe you're $50,000 in debt. That's what is. But that doesn't... It's all of the meaning that we put around that, you know, because you're $50,000 in debt, does that mean you're a bad person? Does that mean you're going to be homeless? Does that mean your life is a waste? You know, and it's all of those other, does it mean you're a loser and you'll never be successful? It's all of those irrational things that we attach to it that can be so harmful. And, you know, and granted, you know, boy, there's a lot of people in very, very challenging circumstances right now. You know, and I've had a challenging year, too. I've watched a lot of my net worth go, oh, bye, you know, I'll see you later. but, Laura, I don't let it interrupt my sleep, you know. I don't let it interfere with my relationships. And that's, you know, we need to be putting our priorities straight and dealing with the finances as the finances and not making it mean, you know, that we're somehow bad people or that we're never going to be, you know, we're going to pull out of it and we'll be stronger people later than we exactly.
Well, you know, what people forget is that life goes in cycles and so does history. And certainly economic ups and downs are cyclical, so that, you know, we have good times, we have bad times. It's just that when we're in the good times, we're like a kid, you know, in a candy store. We're so happy we forget about making any plans for the bad times, some of us. And when the bad times come, we're so surprised that we're having this, but it comes around every 100 years at least. There's some kind of depression or whatever euphemism you want to give it. So it's not like it's brand new. But
no.
Those of us who perhaps haven't lived through one before we act as if it's new. Is there any good news for somebody who's, let's say, going through a bankruptcy right now or a foreclosure or any other kind of life-altering financial circumstances?
There's a lot of good news. You might remember it was only in 2001 that we had our last stock market crash. Granted, it wasn't as big or as profound as the one we're having now, but following 9/11, there was a huge stock market crash. And, you know, it only took the market 6 months to rebound. It was incredible. Well, we're already 6 months into this one, and we haven't, you know, we've seen some upticks, but it's gonna take a little bit longer. You know, after any one of these sorts of, you know, quote unquote hard times, there are people who come out on top because they were investing. I mean, it's a great time.
Yes.
Great time to invest. Great time to buy a home right now. Great time to buy a rental house. Great time to purchase some investments that have been overpriced, but we're going to see those things coming out. But you know, not everybody's in a situation where they can take advantage of those opportunities.
Right, right.
Some people are on the losing end of the bet. You know, if they feel like they're at Vegas and they had the wrong hand. and for those people, I would recommend to anybody in that situation to check out my most recent blog post on financial failure at thegardenofplenty.com. There's a long list of people who have gone through, it's really a who's who list of entrepreneurs industrialists who have gone through financial failure.
I saw that.
And bankruptcy.
Okay, I saw that.
Yes. I mean,
yes.
People
that
don't
was
realize
wonderful.
That many of our most successful people, they have gone through bankruptcy or financial failure before they become successful, and as a matter of fact, a lot of them, Dan Kennedy, who's a marketing guru, and he also went through a bankruptcy in his early days, he says that he believes, he has worked with over 200 millionaires and multimillionaires, and he says that nearly half of them have gone through bankruptcies, and he believes this is actually sort of the dirty little secret of many successful entrepreneurs and he analyzes why that is in his book, Wealth Attraction for Entrepreneurs, and he says, you know, once you've learned to face the fear and walk through it and you feel like when you're going through the bankruptcy or the financial failure, you feel like your life's going to end and you'll never get credit again and things will never be the same and you're not going to be successful. And when you start to realize that none of those things are true,
right.
you get to a place where you actually can master that fear. And not once you can manage and master your fear around money or your fear around failure or success or not having money, then it really frees you up to take the actions that you need to take in order to be successful. And so people like Hershey's, our chocolate, Mr. Hershey the chocolate man, Mr. Folgers the coffee man, J.C. Penney, Henry Ford, Mr. Buick, Hilton Hotels.
Don't forget Walt Disney.
Walt Disney. Conrad Hilton lost several of his hotels in the Great Depression, and he remained on with them, employed as a manager, even though he no longer owned them anymore. And several years later, he was able to recover and buy his hotels back.
That's a wonderful story.
I know. What kind of person does that take? You know, that takes somebody who's not afraid and somebody who can remain in the game even when they feel like they're losing, even when the scoreboard says you're not doing so well. You know, he stayed in the game and he didn't give up. And we need to remember that the game is not over unless we quit.
Exactly. You know, you've reminded me when you were naming the famous people, but I have a friend, you know, what we call a friend over at Facebook, and she was sharing with me that she had lost her beautiful home. And I said to her, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that." And she said, "Oh, no." She said, "I'm so happy." She said, "It was a gorgeous home. It was a big home." She said, "But I am so relieved to be rid of that financial burden." She said, "It was stressing her to have trying to keep it." So she's very relieved that she did lose it, because in many ways she feels like now she has a fresh start. So
yeah.
Her perspective is different than some people who would see it as the end of the world. She saw it as, you know, she sees it as this new beginning, and she's really happy not to have, she had to move in with her boyfriend, and she said, "Hey, that was nice." So, it, you know, she took a different look at it. And the same is true with the fires. There were a lot of fires in my area earlier in the year, and some people lost their entire, I mean, the entire house burned to the ground. And there was one couple in the news who said that when they stood looking at that house or the ashes, they were so happy that they still had each other. They
yeah.
realized that they had not lost the most important thing to them. And I think we get so caught up in the possessions and money, which is just an exchange for getting the things we want, we get caught up in lose perspective, and then we end up doing what the people you mentioned on your site, committing suicide or homicide, all kinds of horrible things, and it's not necessary. It's just so sad. Now, I want to ask you about the people who perhaps are listening and are financially challenged right now. Do you recommend that they hire a company or a lawyer to help them with, let's say, loan modification if they're behind on the mortgage? Do you recommend that?
That's a great question, Flora. There's, I was a realtor after I owned a restaurant. I was a realtor for 8.5 years.
Oh, my goodness.
That was my last career before getting into to coaching full time, And I know that if you're behind on your mortgage payment, you're going to be getting a whole lot of mail telling
yes.
you, you know, hire us or hire us, and this is why you need us. And it's a little bit deceptive. Yes, there are situations in which it might make sense to hire a loan
mm-hmm.
modification company. You know, maybe you're working two jobs and there's you have no time whatsoever, but you do have a little bit of money, and a lawyer can be very effective in the negotiating process. But the downside is that there's a couple downsides. One is that it costs about $2,500 to pay
Whoa.
Somebody. Yeah.
That's
lot
one
of
your
money.
House notes.
Well,
that's
yeah,
a house
I mean, that's
note right there, maybe.
That could be a couple of mortgage payments for some
that's
people.
Right.
And if you can't
that's
make
right.
your mortgage payment, you probably don't have the $2,500 to
there
pay somebody to negotiate it for you. And what they don't tell you is that you can do it yourself. You don't
right.
have
okay.
to hire a company. You can go to HUD, the Housing and Urban Development. They have some resources. Anybody can contact me with. I know of some resources. You know, the first person you should be contacting is your lender, and sometimes the lender
okay.
even has. Sometimes they even have a law firm that's designated to help
okay.
homeowners at no cost to them, you know, put together loan modification. So it's not rocket science. It's maybe not the simplest thing in the world, but it's not rocket science. It's something that anybody can learn to do, and you don't need to pay somebody $2,500 to do it for you, you know, unless you want to. And it is an option. And as I said, you know, a lawyer can be a very effective negotiator, but you don't. You don't want to put yourself in a position of worsening your hardship because you feel
exactly.
like that's the only option. And
okay.
and they're going to put you on the phone with a salesperson who's going to make you feel like that is your only option.
Exactly. It's what about going to the mortgage company itself?
Absolutely. That's the first place
directly
you should,
to the mortgage.
Yeah, that's the first
okay.
place you should start. And they will actually give you paperwork to fill out. You know, people can benefit with a little bit of coaching to do it effectively, and mm-hmm. And whether, you know, whether somebody wants to contact HUD or contact me or even read up on some resources on how to do that. You know, there are more effective and less effective ways of doing it, but your company, your mortgage company, will probably either send those documents to you or you can download them straight from their website. You want to be talking, you know, if you're behind on your mortgage, you're going to be having the collections department calling you.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Yes, exactly. And there's another department that you need to be talking to, which is the, oh gosh, now I'm drawing a blank on it. It's not the loan. They might call it the loan modification department. I want to say loss prevention, loss mitigation. That's what it is, loss mitigation.
Okay.
You want to be talking to the loss mitigation department, and they are going, you know, it's expensive for a mortgage company to take a house into foreclosure. It costs
right.
them money, and they're going to lose
okay.
money by doing that. So if you are in a position where you feel that you can make payments, maybe just not as big as the ones that you've been making, or maybe you've gone through some unemployment but you're starting to work again and you just simply need
mm-hmm.
to be able to get caught up again, your mortgage company would rather help you than see you go into a foreclosure. But you've got to be talking to the right people and ask the right questions, and they will help.
Now, let me ask you this. In that regard, I've heard some people say that these departments like loss mitigation don't want to talk to you until you are behind. What about if you're not behind on your house note and you want to try to renegotiate to get a lower monthly payment? Is that something
that
they would be willing to do?
That's a great question. If you're that is changing. It really depends on the company, Flora, because
okay.
companies are so swamped right now. Some of them are saying, please call us before you get behind. You know, they want to hear
mm-hmm.
from people earlier and before they get, you know, 2 months or 3 months behind, and then you've got,
mm-hmm.
you know, foreclosure beginning. But with other companies, they're having such a hard time dealing with people who are applying for loan modifications, and their staffs are having trouble handling it, then with some companies you may not, you know, get a lot of attention if you're not behind yet. But here's the important thing to remember with negotiating is there's got to be something in it for them too.
For them. Okay.
And so if you are trying to negotiate down your mortgage, but if you've got you know, $250,000 in a retirement account that you can access, you know, they're
mm-hmm.
probably not going to renegotiate your mortgage.
You can pay it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have the ability to pay. But that being said, there's a lot of new rules and laws out there, and one of the things that I know the new administration has been helping to get passed is that some of the rules on refinances have changed because of the market, the housing market being low right now. You know, if you've lost $50,000 value on your house, maybe you're not in a position where you could typically go and refinance it. But because of these new programs, sometimes you can. So if your credit's good and if you still have a job, then look into a refinance. Because the rates are really low right now, and there's special programs out there where even if your house has no equity in it, you might be able to qualify. So contact your bank, contact a loan officer that you know and trust, and look into what the options are. Because if you don't have to be in a bad position, but if you've been on time with your payments, but now you've
mm-hmm.
lost your job, and you don't have a way to make those payments, then you need to be contacting, you're not going to qualify for a refinance in that case, but you need to be contacting your lender to let them know about your situation.
Okay. Now, as you've mentioned earlier that what you do is not financial planning and not therapy, but as a financial coach, could someone contact you and hire your services to help them walk through decisions to decide which of these things to do?
Absolutely.
For example, the kinds of things we've been talking about here?
Yeah, I am sort of part educator and part coach, so I can... And I know sometimes when you're dealing with something that's difficult or that's unfamiliar, you know, it's easy. You know, that's why people put their heads in the sand is because that feels easier than, you know, than taking action. So I can certainly help people take action on those things. I would say more often than not, I'm working with you know, with entrepreneurs who are trying to raise their level of profit. And so, you know, I guess what I'm saying is a perfect coaching client is somebody who's really ready to move ahead. Some people may be in situations where it might make more sense for them to, you know, to contact HUD, and there's also free if they're really looking for financial counseling, there's a lot of free resources out there that they can Google for, or another great resource. My ebook will be out in a few weeks, and people, I'm actually at the moment I am giving that away to anybody who signs up for a copy of it. They'll also be on my my Total Wealth. Total Wealth Wisdom.
Where do they go to sign up for that?
They can go to totalwealthcoaching.com.
Okay.
And they'll see a sign up box to get the ebook because
Ooh.
It's a resource that I'm providing for people, and there's going to be some more resources that they can discover through that, and they can see, you know, where they fit. If they're in a position, they might, you know, just need some no-cost counseling, or they may be in a position where, you know, they do have some money that they can invest to really move themselves forward and put themselves.
So we can go there now.
Mm-hmm.
It's even though the book's not out, we can go to totalwealthcoaching.com and sign up.
And you can register for it now. Probably after it's out, I'm probably going to start charging for it. But for people who pre-register. I'm going to be sending those people a complimentary copy of it.
Oh, cool. I'll be over there as soon as the show is over. let me ask you this. You mentioned that you coach entrepreneurs, but I know you also do some for women-only workshops. Now, aren't money principles the same for men and women? Why do you do some for women only?
Aha, because that's a great question. Because yeah, money behaves the same no matter whose hands it's in. That's
yes.
You know, the mathematical principles don't change. But women learn differently than men.
Mm-hmm.
Women learn differently than men, and women handle their stuff, their issues differently than men.
Okay.
How many women, you know, we love to process through things, and the
mm-hmm.
way we process through things is calling up our other girlfriends and telling them about this thing or this relationship or this problem or this issue that we have. But we're
trained, so we're
naturally, as women, we want to process and discuss through things. But here's the problem. When it comes to money, we've been trained
mm-hmm.
from the time we were, you know, three, or if not earlier, that it's not okay to talk about money. So
mm-hmm.
here we are, naturally, people who need to process through things and talk about things and get our feelings out and come back and discuss it more, you know, the next week. But
mm-hmm.
we're trained not to talk about it. So I provide... And it's such a thrill, and this is at the moment just something that I do locally here in the Seattle area, but I provide women a place where they can bring their, you know, their problems, their questions, their shame, their celebrations about money,
that's
and
wonderful.
Share it. And once they start talking about money, Flora, you can't shut them up.
I bet. I can imagine. You know what? We're going to run out of time in a minute, so I want to jump to something totally different, maybe not
okay.
totally. I heard that you are a singer-songwriter.
I am.
Tell us a little about that real quick before our time runs out.
I am. I'm a very, very creative person, and I think creativity and entrepreneurialism go hand in hand, and I've always been I've sung all of my life. I taught myself to play piano when I was a teenager,
wow.
And I released my first CD last year, which is called Transformation. It's a very a lot of
did
I guess
you write
you call
the
them,
songs on there.
I did.
Did you write
I did.
The
I,
song?
I wrote the song. So I'm not only do I write articles and ebooks, but I write songs as well. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to. I'm just finished up recording for a live CD that'll be my next CD. But if anybody wants to hear my music, actually there's links straight from TotalWealthCoaching.com. We don't have to give them
okay.
any other email
okay.
than that. If you, on the sidebar, it'll say there's links to hear Kate's music. So that's
cool.
just a fun thing, and it helps balance me out. You know, you
that's right.
It's good to have. Well, it's not just it was a hobby for many years, but now it's a side
it's
business.
Becoming a serious thing, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, we're nearing the end of today's show, and I want to urge all of the listeners who've been enlightened or encouraged and empowered by today's episode to share what they've learned with their family and colleagues. Excuse me. Remember the recording. Well, this episode will be here on my site anytime you want to return and hear it. I want to thank you again, Kate, for sharing with us, and I want to give you an opportunity to give us some closing words.
Closing words. I would say don't despair, whatever situation you're in, don't despair. And, you know, think of something you can do this week to move yourself forward, whether that's making calls that you've been putting off making, or whether that's taking a step to start your own business or to do a budget for your home that you've been, you know, ignoring. You can take whatever step. And boy, we all have such internal wisdom about these things, and if
yes,
we can just follow the internal wisdom that we already have, that gets us moving in the right direction.
And could you repeat your website and your blog?
Yes,
address?
My website is TotalWealthCoaching.com, and that's going to tell people, that page is going to tell people what I call is the treasure map, the three essential ingredients to building wealth. Very simply, it's just mindset, action, and plan. And you can learn more about that on that page, TotalWealthCoaching.com. That's actually linked right up with my blog. My blog is TheGardenOfPlenty.com, TheGardenOfPlenty.com.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I want to remind everyone to join me again next Monday, April 27th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My guest then will be Chanel Yang. She's a blogger, author, and lawyer. She's going to talk about the people, work, money formula. We definitely want to hear about this formula. Her theory is you get these things in the right order, and you can have a happy life. She has a very intriguing life story. My voice is trying to go. So I'm going to sign off. Remind you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy. And this radio show, remember, is designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Have a blessed week. And remember to do one thing for